Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is 1038B, and the B's are always guests, and as usual, we have a great guest for you. This one is Jennifer Ashton, who is the physician chief medical correspondent for ABC News. She's really the country's leading voice, I look at it as, on women's health. She is board certified in OBGYN, and you get to see her nightly or more often on the ABC nightly news. Jen, how do you mix? And I've got to tell you first, before we go into that, we are sponsored by Persona Nutrition. We always have great guests, and I use Persona for my personalized supplements. Anyone can. And if you want to have some fun, take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. Go to mypersona.com. Jen, how did you get involved in medical correspondence, if you will? And then how did you jump from CBS to ABC? How was that transition?
Mike, first, it's so great to be on your show. And you and I have known each other for a while now. And as you may...
It's such a privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you. The feeling is mutual. This was nothing that I ever planned to do in my life. I always describe this when I talk to medical students as the biggest thing that's ever happened to me professionally or personally that I never planned on happening or tried to make happen. But my television career started in 2006. I was hired as the first woman medical contributor at Fox News Channel, and I spent 3 years there. And then when my contract was up, I was hired by CBS Network and was there for about 2.5 years, and then came to ABC, where I've been for the last almost 10 years now. And I think it just happened. And the reason it happened is because I love medicine and I love talking about medicine. And whether that's to a room full of people or to one individual patient or to 5 million people, it's all the same to me. And so that's the abbreviated version.
The new normal. We're all obviously doing unexpected things, like you took the jump. You still do practice OBGYN. We should let people know that you still see patients. And that always is, at least to me, the joy of medicine. But when you look at the new normal, and when I go through your book, one of the things that stands out is silver linings. So you do go through a huge number of ways we can get and be healthier. But let's talk a little bit about silver linings, one of which I like to think of as, if you will, that we've learned a new way of creating vaccines, many new ways of creating vaccines and creating them faster. Why don't you talk to us about some of the other silver linings?
Yeah, first, just to wrap up the vaccine development silver lining, as we are living through something that will be in the history books, and not just because of the devastation, but also because of the positives that have come out of it. And the vaccine development that has occurred in the last year has never, not even close, been accomplished before. And to make not just one vaccine, but multiple vaccine candidates in less than a year, or about a year, that will need to be accessible to the entire world is really unheard of. And that's a massive medical and scientific accomplishment that was only realized because of the unprecedented global collaboration between the public and private sectors. And I think at the very kind of most basic fundamental level, it's showed us all what we can accomplish when we work together. So that, I think, is incredible. I think other silver linings, hopefully, that will come of this will be, just for one thing, that a topic that I know is near and dear to your heart and brain, is how we interact with agriculture and animals and how we live with animals and those species, because most pandemics, in fact, originate in animals. So I think that has a lot of room for improvement. I think in the United States, our dependence on supply chain distribution, largely from India and China, for our pharmaceutical supply and testing and, you know, medical supplies in general, this past year has shown us that is a problem that we need to figure out redundancy and safeguards for. Our healthcare infrastructure, our technology was really not in the modern era before this, and that hurt us. And hopefully coming out of this, we will be more up to speed and more prepared for the next pandemic, because there will be another pandemic. And then I think just on a societal level, the way we've appreciated the term essential worker, that no one used that term before 2020. And now we realize the people who work in food handling and grocery stores and public transportation and law enforcement and teachers. And all, I hope we look at these people differently forever after what we've seen them do and the sacrifices that they've made over the last year. So I think there are a lot of silver linings, Mike. It's just a matter of keeping your eyes open to find them.
We're talking with Jennifer Ashton, who is the author. She's the ABC News chief medical correspondent, and she's the author of a book called The New Normal, A Roadmap to Resilience in the Pandemic Era. Jen, when you say the new normal, that implies that we're changing the normal from what it was. And clearly, what you live in New York, which has obviously gone through an awful lot. How do you think New York will change? Will there be much more work from home? Will there be much less, in fact, people trying to get into a city and people living further and further away, if that's true? Or do you think this accelerated technology in general, where do you think is going to change?
My honest answer, Mike, is that no one knows. It's intellectually stimulating to try and read the tea leaves or look into a crystal ball. But I really try to stay in my lane, which is that of a doctor and a communicator of medical information. And I think the honest answer is no one knows. I can tell you, as someone, as you said, who lives in New York City, this city, which is arguably like the number one city in the world, has taken a major hit in this pandemic. It is not the same. And I think that it will be a while before it settles out again. It's never going to go back. That's why I cringe when I hear people say back to normal. We don't do anything in reverse. It defies reality. So it'll be truly a new normal. We don't know what that will look like. It might be better, it might be worse, but it will be different. And I think that whether you can consider this a silver lining or not, one of the things that people in the New York City area definitely experienced is that this city, which really is predicated on being really a lot of people jammed close together and the hustle bustle, for the last year has not been like that. And it became very difficult in a lot of ways to live here when the city was shelter in place, stay at home orders. And a lot of people wanted to move out of here to get space and to return to nature and have more green and whatever. And I think that's totally understandable. I do think, just like the human spirit, New York City is resilient and it will plateau out at a different steady state eventually, but no one knows when that will be and no one knows what it will look like.
Jennifer, the one of the probably strongest points, I think, in your book, and it is very well done. So we're talking to Jennifer Ashton about her book, The New Normal, is the emphasis on family and friends and how that helps with resilience and what I would call stress management or management of life during these times. And not only do you have a full chapter on it in chapter 9 in the book, but it really permeates each of the other chapters and is brought into that. Tell us a little more about how you came to that.
I came to it not because of any expertise that I had as ABC News chief medical correspondent or a practicing physician. I came to it because I lived an experience that millions and millions of other people also lived during this pandemic, although I lived it through the lens of a doctor. Obviously, you and I, we see things, we tend to just navigate life through the medical lens. And so I did, of course, I went through, I know five people who died of COVID. My own brother, who's a surgeon here in New York City, had COVID. Thank God he recovered, but he was sick for 2 weeks. You know, I didn't hug my 80-year-old parents for a year. I have many patients who lost both parents to COVID. I couldn't open my medical office for 3 months. I worked from home for about 6 months, getting on the air for ABC News. So I had three college kids in my small apartment for that time. So I went through a lot of the same things that a lot of us went through. And I realized that it was really hard. And someone just today, I did an interview and someone asked me, you know, if I ever got to the point where I felt overwhelmed. And I said, I can't count how many times I've cried in the last year out of fear, frustration, fatigue, stress, all those things. That's how it's affected me. And I think it's affected a lot of people the same way. And I would go so far as to describe in the book that I would challenge someone who doesn't think they've been affected, because I think it's that pervasive. And I think that it's not only okay to admit that you've been affected by it, but it's healthy and normal. And I would go so far as to say that someone who thinks they've come through the year like any other year may have other problems. I just don't think that's possible. So I think that shared sense of just what we've all lived through is really important. And it's something that I experience really strongly myself.
One of the, and clearly as you go through this, you can see that family and friends are key in getting through the issues. And the other thing that, and in fact, the thing that kept coming up to my mind as I went through this is there have been a number of recent stories about how much weight America has gained during this and how much weight people gained during the lockdown and how they aren't doing things for their health. Yet one of the hopes of this would be to say we are responsible for our health because our lifestyle makes such a difference. And you bring that up many times. Do you think there is hope for this?
Not only do I think there's hope, I think it's a wake-up call for so many people. And I know you're referring to a recent study that was done at UCSF that found the average weight gain during shelter at home, you know, for, they did a small study, but they looked at about 300 people, was 1.5 pounds per month. That's average. So I think that for people to say, I went through this and I gained weight and now what do? I think the wake up call here is that at the end of the day, we are ultimately the captain of our team. We're the one who is ultimately responsible for a lot of our kind of pandemic preparedness from a physical and mental standpoint. And I do think there's a lot that we can all do as individuals to be pandemic ready. Or to come out of this in a way that puts us on a better level in terms of our physical and mental well-being.
Another area that I loved in this, actually, because I hadn't thought about this a great deal, and so it's stimulating. And that's one of the things about this book is it stimulates you to think about all kinds of new things. But one of them is how to deal with public places. And I guess the next question that I always get asked by my non-medical colleagues is, when will we get rid of the masks? So let's first talk about public places, and then we'll end to make sure you get enough time to get on the air.
Oh, thank
with
you.
Talking about when do you think we'll get rid of the masks, if ever?
I think that for a lot of people, the masks will be part of their public life, let's say. And what does that mean? That means travel or going to the grocery store or maybe public transportation. And by the way, if an individual feels more comfortable with that, then I certainly, Asia has been doing that for a long time for a variety of reasons, pollution, possible germ protection. So I think that's something that we'll see a lot of for a very long time. I think in the workplace or schools, I hope that's not going to be for a long time, but there's a lot that still needs to be determined with the variants, how they behave, how much of the population gets vaccinated. There's a lot that we still don't know. So I think as we learn more, and it's not just how we behave, but it's how the virus behaves and vice versa. Those are the two variables, right? It's human behavior and virus behavior. So we can only control one of those things. So I don't know. I think that it's going to be a part of our life, certainly for some people. How much of the population, I don't think anyone knows. But look at what we've learned about mask wearing just in the last year. Unfortunately or fortunately, I think that's going to be here for a while. But I think it'll be an option rather than a mandate.
And we should say there is a great section on how to go into public places in this book, A Roadmap to Resilience in the Pandemic Era, The New Normal by ABC News Chief Medical Correspondent Jennifer Ashton. Jennifer, thanks very much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on. Is there a website I can throw people to, or just tell them Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local bookstore?
Yep, any major book retailer, for sure. It's on Amazon and all of them. And people can follow me on Instagram at drjashton. And Mike, it's always so great to talk to you. And I look forward to when we can be together again at the Oz Show, or even better, some nice celebratory social function.
I look forward to it. This should be a number one bestseller. I hope it is. Hope it gets there, because it is a great thought-provoking book, as well as a great tour of the important things in life. I should say, as usual, we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can find out what you're missing or not missing anything in your nutritional and diet by taking the free online assessment at mypersona.com. You can get supplements either personalized to you, or maybe you don't need anything. It's a free online assessment. You can talk to a dietitian for free at mypersona.com. Thanks again for downloading us. Thanks, and tell your friends about us. 50,000 of you a week can't all be wrong, so thank you for doing it. And of course, thanks, Caitlin, for great engineering. We'll be back next week, and I hope with as good a guest, although that'll be tough, as Jennifer Ashton. Thanks again. See you next week.